Well, good evening. Welcome to our evening service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. If you have a Bible, if you would turn to the Gospel of Mark, please. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I'd like for us once again to study the prayer habits of our Lord and Saviour. Jesus Christ not only taught how to have a prayer time, his life was a constant lesson on what it means to pray without ceasing. Our Lord had a prayer life. His life was full of prayer. And here in Matthew chapter 14, I'd like for us to note a further element concerning the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ that will help us and encourage us and instruct us how we can make prayer habitual in our lives. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 23, in fact, let's go back to verse number 22. We'll read from verses 22 down to verse 24. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your mercies, and we ask, O God in heaven, that you would guide us and lead us into truth this evening, and that you would glorify the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, the Bible teaches us that our Lord Jesus began his public ministry while he was being baptized. The Bible teaches us he prayed and he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which reminds us concerning the lesson that you and I are in need of God's power, the fullness of God's Spirit, and that comes via prayer. Prayer equals the power of God. And we need to be in prayer much that we might have the power of God upon our lives. And then in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus made it a priority to pray. He wasn't governed by the pressures of the day, the demands of those around him, but he set time aside to pray. He arose very early, before the breaking of day, in order to pray. Prayer was a priority. Prayer was a means of power. And thirdly, we have noted in Luke chapter 5 that the Lord Jesus has had seasons of special prayer, where he would set time aside and pray for a season. And in Luke chapter 6, the Bible makes reference to the fact that before the Lord Jesus made any major decisions, he devoted a considerable amount of time to prayer. And that's sound advice for you and I, brethren, that before we make a decision, a major decision, that we drown that decision with prayer. We bathe it in prayer. And let me not just stop there, but as you pray, don't just pray, you seek the mind of God. And you seek God's confirmation. See, it doesn't impress pastor to say, well, pastor, I prayed about it. Because I'll simply just say, well, so you should. That means nothing, really. But what did God say to you? What direction did he give you in the Scriptures? And if you can't give a book, chapter, and verse concerning a decision, then I'll send you back to the prayer closet. See? But that's where it begins. You and I need to give much time to prayer before we make major decisions. Lesson number 5 this evening concerning the prayer habits of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus interceded on the behalf of his disciples. As we study the life of Jesus Christ, as we specifically note his prayer movements, we find that he is often praying for his disciples. The Lord Jesus interceded on the behalf of his disciples. In verse number 22, the Lord Jesus sent his disciples across the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible teaches us that they went before him. They went before him. Now, what does that mean? It simply means this, that the Lord Jesus went up into a mountain apart to pray, and he had his disciples in view. As the disciples made their way across the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus had his disciples in view, and he was praying for them. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And may I submit to you, concerning the prayer life of the Lord Jesus, he was given to interceding on the behalf of others. As the disciples traveled across the Sea of Galilee, the Bible teaches us that they went before him. The Lord Jesus had them in sight, and he was praying. And to me, 1 + 1 = 2. As he prayed, and as he watched his disciples, he was praying for his disciples as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. In other words, he was interceding on their behalf. The disciples find themselves in one of those sudden storms on the Sea of Galilee. And as the Lord Jesus watches them and prays for them, he comes to their rescue. In verses 32 and 33 it reads, "And when they were come into the ship," that's Peter and the Lord Jesus, "the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God." The Lord Jesus intercedes on the behalf of his disciples. And if we want to follow the prayer pattern, the prayer habits of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will take seriously the importance of praying one for another. The Lord Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is praying for you. He is praying for me. In fact, he has been doing so for the last 2,000 years. Since he went back to glory, since he ascended, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on your behalf, interceding on my behalf. Intercession was a critical part of the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are to imitate his life, then we likewise will take the challenge seriously and the mandate seriously to pray one for another. To pray for our families. To pray for our friends. To pray for our church family. To pray for our missionaries. The Lord Jesus interceded on the behalf of his disciples. The Bible teaches us in verse 22 that they went before him, and he went up into a mountain, and there he prayed with his disciples in view. And I'd like to encourage you this evening concerning the fact that the Lord Jesus is praying for you. The Lord Jesus is praying for you. Let me ask you this evening, who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? If the truth be known, most of us spend our prayer time praying for ourselves. But if we are to follow the prayer pattern of the Son of God, we note that he was given to the ministry of intercession. In John chapter 17, we don't have time to go there, but this chapter is devoted to the Lord Jesus interceding on the behalf of his disciples and those yet to come. The Lord Jesus was given to intercession. He interceded on the behalf of his disciples. Lesson number 6 concerning the prayer habits of Jesus Christ is found in Luke chapter 9, please. Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, verse 18. To 21. And it came to pass that as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Within this passage of Scripture, as the multitude left, after being fed, the Bible teaches us that from verses 10 down to verse number 17, that the Lord Jesus fed some 5,000 individuals. And as they left him, the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus prayed alone with his disciples. He prayed with his disciples. Our Lord practiced praying with committed individuals. The Lord Jesus not only interceded on the behalf of his disciples, he also made time to pray with committed individuals. He was teaching them about prayer as they listened and as they observed him. He was bonding with them. This is the greatest spiritual superglue available to you and I, to pray one for another. A home that prays together stays together. A church that prays together stays together. Prayer unifies. And we find in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he not only interceded on the behalf of others, he prayed for his disciples, but he also prayed with his disciples. Our Lord was winning their hearts through prayer. And there will be a greater understanding with those that we pray with. See, Peter said in verse number 20, "The Christ of God." The Christ of God. There's something very special about praying with committed individuals. When you spend time praying with somebody, you will have a greater understanding within that relationship. It's an amazing thing. So the more we pray one with another as a church family, the better we will understand one another. And we will be unified one with another. The Lord Jesus was given to prayer. He prayed with his disciples. The clarity and unity will come when we pray one with another. That is so critically important in the Christian life. You become better friends, better mates with those that you pray with most. Let me ask you this evening, who do you love? Who do you want to influence for good? Let's take our Lord's advice and make time to pray with them. Pray with them and you will bond with them. And the Lord Jesus was bonding with his disciples by praying with them. And when the question was asked, "But whom say ye that I am?" there was an understanding there in the mind of a man of God who heard and prayed with the eternal Son of God. Prayer enlightens. Prayer gives clarity. Prayer strengthens a relationship. And brethren, if you want to have a greater understanding, a greater relationship with an individual, then let's take our Lord's advice and pray for them. As a youth pastor, before I went into evangelism, in the church that I was training in, I would weekly pray with one of the men in the church. In fact, it was one of the fathers of the teenagers that I ministered to. And every week I would meet with him. Every Tuesday night I'd go out visiting or soul winning, and then I would conclude the evening by popping by Peter Davis's home. We would have a little bit of a chat, and we would pray together. Now, Peter Davis was twice my age, but I had a very close relationship with Peter Davis. And he was 110% behind my youth ministry. So I began my youth ministry with one moody pastor's kid. That's how I began my youth ministry. And by God's grace, within 5 years, we had 50 teenagers coming every week. And I give credit to this man of God by the name of Peter Davis, who gave me time to pray with me every week, and we had a very close relationship. There's something very special about praying one for another. And if Peter was here right now, I'd thank him once again. God saw fit to take him home just the other year via cancer. But he was a wonderful man of God. And he believed in me. And he appreciated what I was trying to accomplish within that youth ministry. And he made a commitment to me. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to try to encourage you as a brother in Christ. Oh, brethren, we need to pray with one another. That's why on Wednesday nights we do encourage you to pray with those that you don't normally pray with. See, sometimes we get into little clubs. We call them click clubs. We don't like click clubs at Mitchell Baptist Church. In fact, we preach against them. Say amen. Amen. Say amen, please. They're of the devil. Click clubs. They don't help anybody or anything. Right. And it's important that you and I pray one with another. And if you don't like somebody, when you begin to pray with them, you'll be amazed that you'll begin to like them. Amen. 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 The Lord Jesus interceded on the behalf of others, but he also prayed with his disciples. As we continue in Luke chapter 9, note verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass about And 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. This is the account of our Lord's Transfiguration. The Lord Jesus saw fit to take the inner circle of his 12 disciples, Peter, James, and John, for a special time of prayer. And as our Lord gathered Peter, James, and John, he took them up into a mountain to pray. And the Bible teaches us that as he prayed, his countenance was changed, and his garments were white and shining. Jesus Christ was transfigured before them in all of his glory. His appearance was changed through prayer. And may I submit to you this evening, as we study the prayer habits of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we spend time in prayer, God will change us from within. And it will be evident without. When you and I spend time in prayer, when we spend time lifting up our hearts to God in prayer, we grow into Christ-likeness. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And the Bible teaches us that all things do work together for good, that we might be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And as we spend time in prayer with Jesus Christ, we will be transformed into his likeness. See, prayer changes things, especially the life of the one praying. Prayer changes things. The Bible teaches us, as the Lord Jesus prayed, his countenance changed. He demonstrated the glory of God. God's glory was upon the Son of God. And Peter, James, and John had the privilege of witnessing this right before their eyes. The Lord Jesus glorified. And when you and I devote time to prayer, serious prayer, we spend time in the Word of God, we allow God to speak to us, we are changed into the image of Christ. And then as we in turn spend time in prayer, we are likewise changed into His image. Prayer changes things. There's a principle there. The more time you and I spend in prayer, the more we will reflect the very glory of Christ, His likeness. And that's certainly what we need, do we not? The likeness of Christ. How can we be more like Christ? Well, spend much time in prayer. That's a good place to start. Go to John chapter 11, please. The Gospel of John chapter 11. Let's note a further prayer habit of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 11, this is the account of the raising of Lazarus. Note verse 41 and 42, please. John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, please note, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. The key word is hast, please. And I know, verse 42, that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The setting here is at the gravesite of Lazarus. Mary is there. Martha is there. Friends of the family are present. The Jews, a group of Jewish individuals, are gathered around the tomb. And once the stone was finally rolled away, our Lord offers a prayer on the behalf of Lazarus. And there in verse 41, he directs his prayer to God the Father. And note that he thanks God the Father for hearing his prayers. He said there in verse 41, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And then he goes on to say in verse 42, please don't miss this, and I knew that thou hearest me always. And the point I'd like to make concerning the prayer life of Jesus Christ is that our Lord was faithful in private prayer. Our Lord Jesus had been praying for Lazarus already. And now, as he stands before this tomb, he offers a prayer and he claims the fact that God the Father will hear his prayers that he has prayed. And he thanks God the Father that, God, you always hear my prayers. So in other words, this teaches us concerning the need of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus, before this event, was already praying for the family. He was already praying for this situation. He was already praying for Lazarus. Our Lord understood the potential witness it would be for Lazarus to arise from the dead. This public prayer was an outflow of private prayer in the life of Jesus Christ. See? He understood the power of a private prayer life. This omnipotent power is available to you and I as God's people. If we would just spend time in prayer, in the private place. And this is an example of the Lord Jesus, no doubt already, has been praying for Lazarus. And here in chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, simply claiming the prayers that he has already prayed. And by faith, he's saying, God, now we want you to, God the Father, I want you to do a great work right now. There are all these unbelievers here that need you. We want you to work according to how I've been praying. See, the Lord Jesus was given to much prayer in private. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6, the Bible reads, in fact, the Lord Jesus taught, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The Lord Jesus taught this principle. He not only taught this principle, he practiced this principle. He taught that if you and I would give our lives to pray in private, then God the Father will hear those prayers and answer openly. The Lord Jesus practiced what he preached. He prayed believing publicly that God would answer his private prayers. Let me ask you this evening, how is your private prayer life? I would guess that the majority of our prayers take place within the context of the church. I hope that's not true of you. I'd like to think of you and me that we would spend much time in private prayer. Our Lord's public prayer reveals that he had a full private prayer life because God answered his prayers. Look at verses 43 and 44. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Didn't so much pray. He just said, Lazarus, come forth. Now why didn't the Lord Jesus say, God the Father, I pray now that Lazarus would rise from the dead? He didn't pray that. You know why? Because he's already prayed that. Are you with me? So he simply raised his voice and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible teaches in verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him. And let him go. So the Lord Jesus simply called Lazarus forth. There was not only the imparting of new life, but also those old grave clothes dropped off. May we have such an anointed private prayer life that we would not only see the evidence of new life, salvation of lost souls, but that we would also see clearly the dropping off, so to speak, of the old life, the old grave clothes. And the Bible teaches us in verse 45 that many were saved as a result of what had happened. Note verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Many were saved. Many of these Jews were converted. What was the key? The private prayer life of the eternal Son of God. It wasn't so much the miracle, it was the prayer life of Jesus Christ. He prayed privately, and there as he stood before that group of concerned individuals and friends, he simply called Lazarus forth. He'd been praying for him in private. The Lord Jesus was given to prayer, to private prayer. I like to think you and I are given to private prayer, much private prayer. And if we pray in private, God tells us he will reward us openly. See, we don't need to boast that we are praying one for another. We just need to pray one for another. And it'll be evident to those that we are praying for them. See? I don't particularly like this idea of boasting one to another that we're praying. I'm praying for you. Now, I know there's a place for that. There's a place. I'm not totally against that, but really there's got to be a balance. See? I ought to be praying for you. And you ought to be praying for me. And really, the greatest evidence of that is answers to those prayers. And the Lord Jesus understood, and it was evident before all, that he'd been praying for Lazarus because Lazarus arose from the grave. And his grave clothes fell off. He was given to private prayer. John chapter 12, please. Are you still with me? John chapter 12, please. Verse number 23, down to verse 28, and Jesus answering them, saying, "The hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified." Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Note verse 28. "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." As our Lord Jesus was feeling the pressure of his imminent death, he cried out to God the Father in prayer. He prayed that God the Father would be glorified through his death. And God the Father affirmed that he is already glorified, and there will be further glory to come. Now those that were with him didn't hear what was taking place. But the Lord Jesus heard the still small voice of God the Father. And the lesson I'd like for us to note this evening concerning the prayer habits of the Lord Jesus is that we likewise need to be tuned in and hear God when he speaks. I think so often we're not tuned in. We miss the point. We miss when God speaks. God often speaks through a still small voice, the witness of his Spirit from within. He often uses the Word of God. And we pour out our heart to God and God speaks, but we fail to listen. We're not tuned in. Are we listening to the Lord as we pray? I think so often we go to prayer and we're just so we just don't wait upon him. We do all the talking, but we don't listen. And we've convinced ourselves we've got to do all the talking. And that's why many of us struggle to pray. Listen, you don't need to do all the talking in prayer. You talk to the Lord and then zip up.
and just meditate upon Him. And let the Holy Spirit of God use His Word to talk to you. So I think so often we go into our prayer closet and we're moving at 100 miles an hour. We're doing all the talking, and we fail to tune in to the voice, the still small voice of Almighty God. And we wonder why we walk away from our communion with God. It seems like the heavens are closed for business. No, the heavens are not closed for business. God is still speaking, but I'm afraid we so often we just rush into His presence and we do all the talking, and God just wants you and I to be still.
Amen.
Be quiet before Him.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to just be still before God in prayer. It'll do a wonder for your Christian life.
Amen.
You mean, Pastor, say nothing? Yeah, say nothing. Just keep your eyes closed. Think upon the Lord. Think upon the Word that you've just read, and just let Him speak to your heart.
Amen.
God speaks to us through His Spirit, does He not? In harmony with His Word. And the Lord Jesus was tuned in to God the Father, and as He cried out to God the Father, said, "Father, I'm feeling the pressure of the hour. I'm feeling the pressure of this pending death to come. Somehow glorify Your name." But as He prayed that prayer, He was tuned in, and He heard the voice of God the Father. He was listening. The Bible teaches us that we are to be swift to hear and slow to speak. That principle applies to prayer as well. Quickly, Luke chapter 22, please. I said that we'll get out before midnight, so I've got just under 3 hours. No, 5 hours. No, I've got plenty of time. Oh, there you go. Luke chapter 22, please. I hope you're taking note. All of these are guiding principles in the prayer life of Jesus Christ. He was given to listening. He was given to praying with His disciples. He prayed for His disciples. As He prayed, His countenance was changed. And note here in Luke chapter 22, please, verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Our Lord Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Our Savior said to Simon Peter, "Satan wants to destroy you completely. He wants to sift you. He wants to single you out specifically." See, Satan understands our potential as blood-bought children of God. But the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, "I'm praying for you personally." And He called Peter by name. He said, "Simon, Simon, I have prayed for thee." The Lord Jesus, in His foreknowledge, knew that Simon Peter would deny His Lord. But He also knew there would be a point of change, a point of conversion, a point of repentance. And He prayed that in Simon Peter's return, that he would be mightily used of God to strengthen the brethren. And beloved, this evening, we need to pray one for another. Because there is a real devil who is targeting individuals just like you, just like me. And we need to specifically pray for one another. lest the devil ruin our lives through temptation. It was the prayers of Jesus Christ that caused Peter to repent of his sin of denial and find his way back to the Lord. And Simon Peter went on to be used mightily of God. There in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the Bible teaches us he preached to a great number of Jewish people. And the Bible teaches us that 3,000 souls were saved and baptized on that day. Wow! What was Peter's secret? The specific prayers of his Savior on his behalf. That was the secret. See, the Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, I'm praying for you specifically. And as we study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we study his prayer life, we find that our Lord prayed specifically for individuals. He prayed for Peter personally. Brethren, we need to pray one for another personally, by name, by name. The Lord Jesus said, I'm praying for you specifically, Peter, that God will use you, that you'll be used to strengthen the brethren. And brethren, this evening, we need to be in prayer one for another. And we need to move beyond just praying collectively for one another. We need to pray specifically for one another by name. That's why we give out specific prayer sheets. Are you listening to me? That's why we give out prayer sheets. Because we want you to pray specifically for people. There is power when God's people pray for one another by name. We bring one another's names before God. That's what we need to do. That's what our Lord Jesus did. He prayed personally for Simon Peter. His prayers were answered. Simon Peter went on. Yes, he had a little stumble, of course, but he went on. And God used him to strengthen the brethren. Souls were saved. Souls were baptized. 1 and 2 Peter are in our New Testament. It pays to pray for one another personally. And also here in Luke chapter 22, we find our Lord agonizing in prayer just before his arrest. Note in Luke chapter 22, verse number 39. He came out and went, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Note verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Our Lord led his disciples into the Mount of Olives. And it was within this area, there was a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. This particular garden was an area that was used to press olives. Olives were pressed and crushed and juiced for oil. And it was within the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means olive press. And it's by no coincidence that it's within this area where olives were crushed and juiced that our Lord Jesus spent his final prayer meeting. And he prayed to God the Father. And he prayed not only once, he prayed a second time. Then he prayed a third time according to Matthew chapter 22. At the conclusion of his prayer time, without reservation, he said to God the Father, not my will, but thine be done. This time of prayer with God the Father brought Jesus Christ to a point where he openly and fully yielded to the will of God the Father as he was about to be arrested and crucified for the sins of the world. And may I submit to you this evening concerning the prayer habits of the Lord Jesus Christ There is a close connection between a prayer life and the power to yield completely to the will of God. See, in prayer we come to grips with the will of God. And God will use our prayer time as we spend time in communion with Him to bend our will, so to speak, that we will yield.
Amen.
Yield. Let me ask you this evening, are you struggling to yield to God's will for 2010? Prayer will bend the knee. It will be prayer with God the Father that will bend us fully into His will. A life full of prayer is a life fully yielded to God's will. See, God has a way of dealing with pride and stubbornness when we pray. It's amazing. And there's a principle for us that as we spend much time in prayer, God will bend our wills. It will cause us to desire His will. Not my will, but thine be done. The prayer habits of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus prayed early. He prayed for specific needs. He prayed before and after main events. Where did the Lord Jesus pray? Well, He prayed in those quiet places. He purposely removed Himself from distraction. And He went into solitary places to pray. Our Lord's attitude concerning prayer was continual. He wasn't controlled by the urgent. He would constantly make altars of prayer throughout His ministry. The Lord Jesus prayed much during main important events. He prayed for others by name, and He still does. He prayed with others, and we should be willing to do likewise. Prayer was everything for our Lord Jesus. When perplexed, He prayed. When feeling the pressure of the ministry, He prayed. When hungry for fellowship, He prayed. When tempted, He prayed. When criticized, He prayed. When weary, He prayed. Prayer brought Him unmeasured power. Jesus Christ lived a prayer life. And may we be stirred to do likewise. His prayer life demonstrates what's involved in praying without ceasing. We've noted 11 glowing principles of prayer in the life of Jesus Christ. And may we this evening bow the knee to pray as the Lord Jesus prayed. And listen to me, with each of those principles mentioned, they're all achievable. Talk to me. Our Lord prayed by name for people. You can do that. Our Lord prayed with individuals. You can do that. Our Lord prayed within the context of every major decision. You can do that. Our Lord arose early to pray. You can do that. Our Lord had special seasons of prayer. You can do that. Our Lord yielded to the will of God the Father. You can do that through prayer. In each of these principles, each one demonstrated in the life of Christ can be a reality in your life and in my life. The Lord Jesus prayed for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You can do that as well. Oh, may God teach us to pray. Let's bow for prayer.